Samasta Shakto. Pratyagatmani tada bhagavatyananta Ananda matra upapanna samasta shaktau
Ananda matra upapanna samasta shaktau
Bhaktim vidhaya paramam sankaraira vidya Vibhechasi maham iti parudham
Yandim vibhechasi maham iti parudham
Translation. I'm sorry to be so brief, but we will have to say good journey to Lord Jagannath at 8:45, and he leaves the temple room to attend the Ratha Yatra in Dinhak, I'm informed, so only have a short time for this lecture, so please concentrate. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīla Gopinātha ki jai. The translation of this beautiful verse, it is a discussion between Svayambhuva Manu, who gives an advice to Dhruva Maharaj about the higher levels of Krishna consciousness. Thus, regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities at the super soul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. Prophet. Dhruva Maharaj was already a liberated person because at the age of only 5 years he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even though liberated he was, for the time being he became afflicted by the illusion of Maya, thinking himself the brother of Uttama in the bodily concept of life. The whole material world is working on the basis of pizza. Is it right? No. I was absent-minded. I didn't listen to the term properly. Therefore, I made a mistake. The whole material world is working on the basis of I and mine. This is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusory conceptions, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. And so as long as one remains captured in this, these illusory conceptions of I and mine, will have to remain within the material world. By the grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Maru reminded Dhruva Maharaj that he should not continue this material conception of I and mine. Simply by devotional service unto the Lord, his illusion could be eradicated without Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Shri Mahadeva Kirananda Swami Nityanamine Namaste Thank you. this material world, our real identity, the person who we are, is becoming covered over, and we become basically corrupted in our understanding by two types of illusory understanding. It's the concept of who I am and the concept of mind. This could be compared to a person who has an accident, maybe a traffic accident in a car, and he gets hit with his head on some sharp metal, and as a result suffers from what is called amnesia, forgetfulness. In that forgetfulness of who he is, what his name is, what his passport identity is, he will maybe then take on an illusory concept. He could think in theory, and there are people in the hospitals who have to be treated because of this. They could think, after forgetting their real identity, that they are, for instance, a football star or anything, you know, a certain eye, although they don't know really how to act as a football star and kick the ball very nicely left and right. They might have that illusory understanding. I have my team, the National 11 of Germany. They have this, so in the same way, the soul, when it comes into this world and suffers from amnesia or forgetfulness, he thinks, I'm the body and I have my team, my people around me. And this is the bondage to material world. Prabhupada writes, the whole material world, the world is working on this basis of I and mine. This is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusory conception, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. Now, we are here in the Kirtan course highly interested to serve Krishna and make our connection with Krishna with the right understanding. I am his servant and he is my Lord and Master. And now, to come to this highly exalted level, we have to realize what the Skanda Purana says as Devam Bhutva Devam Yajet. It means, to serve a spiritual being, you yourself have to become one. You have to become spiritual. You need, in other words, to give up these wrong conceptions. This reminds us of a lecture where Srila Prabhupada talked about becoming fire. He said, if you want to enter the fire, you have to become fire. In other words, he spoke of this subject. If you want to come close to the Krishna, and you have to become like he is. You don't have to become him, but like him. That is spiritual. A devotee cannot be a bad character, because Krishna, Prabhupada says, is pavitram paramam bhavam. Pavitra means pure. So an impure person cannot approach him. And then he gives this example. If you want to enter fire, you yourself must be fire. If you are not fire, you will simply burn. The example is given. Krishna is a big fire and we are sparks of that fire. So if you want happiness, then you have to dance with Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, my God. But I cannot dance with Krishna if I'm not pure. Krishna is Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Pavitra means the supreme pure. If you want to take pleasure in the company of Krishna, who wants it? If you want to take pleasure in the company of Krishna and dance in the rasa dance, then you have to become purified. That is sarvopadi vinyamo. Become free of all designations. All this has to go. I am German, I am French, I am complicated, I am uncomplicated, I am happy, I am sad, I have a bad shoulder, I have a good shoulder. It is not the right understanding. It reminds us of one German mystic. Maybe some of you have heard him. Meister Eckhart. Meister Eckhart. He was once asked, how should the person be who can see and serve God? How should he be? And Meister Eckhart, he was a mystic. You need to sometimes an explanation of what he said. He says, that person who wants to be with God must be dead. What he meant with this is not a physical death, obviously. What he meant was that these material illusory concepts of I am the body of German, and this is mine, must go. In Prabhupada's teachings, we hear this important lesson repeated all over again. He said all over again, I am not the body. Does this sound familiar to you? Have you heard this at times? He said, the beginning of Krishna consciousness starts here. We need to understand, I am an eternal soul and I am not the body. This should not be understood only theoretical, but by practical realization. It is in the beginning of a book, a small booklet, very interesting, called Beyond Birth and Death. You must start here. You must come to this level. If you don't, then your whole spiritual life will be a very honest endeavor, most probably, but it will rest on the wrong foundation, not on the spiritual foundation. The Hari Bhakti, Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's a guidebook for spiritual practice, takes up this point and says, Bhuta Shuddhim Vinakartur Japa Homa Adhikar Kriya Bhavanti Nishpala. Nishpala means no good result will come. Sarvayata Vidya Apayanustita. I will read to you the quotation for in a moment, but because we have young devotees amongst us who may need to understand this, what talks about it, there is a practice in our tradition whereby which we can become free from these binding material concepts of I am the body and I am that identify with our complicated mind, our false persona. No? This practice is called Buddha Shuddhi, or it means to be purified of the material elements. You use a little bit more philosophical language, you would say it's the dismantling and reconstruction of identity. you get rid of the wrong identity and you get a new identity. This Buddha Shuddhi practice is there in all spiritual traditions of India. And to give you the idea, I will quote from another tradition, the tantric tradition. When you hear Tantra in the West, you think of one thing, physical or sexual practices, but that is Tama in the mode of that is Tantra in the mode of Tama, ignorance. There is such a thing, but there is Tantra also in the mode of goodness, where you really want to become free from the false material identity. And the way you do this is, we don't do this, but I just want you to understand the principle of Buddha Shuddhi. You practice Buddha Shuddhi by mentally burning your material body. You surround it with fire, mentally conceived fire, and then you see how your body burns, not in a shocking way. You just see the hair goes, the material elements of earth goes, the everything goes, the watery portions go, and then you obviously see in the meditation that the body has become a pile of ashes. Small pile, doesn't your body fits in such a container, then it is ashes. So then the next meditation is that the one who practices Buddha Shuddhi meditates that a drop of nectar or amrita comes from the Lord, falls down into this world onto the heap of ashes, which is your dismantled or mentally rejected false identity, and from out of the ashes, which is touched by the drop of nectar, emerges your true spiritual identity. Do you understand this meditation and practice? Mm-hmm. Oh, you slept. I think you have not understood it properly. But this was of another tradition. It's all right. But now you need to be attentive. You know, this you don't need to remember. But now you need to be attentive. So we don't do such tantric practices. But we also have our Buddha Shuddhi. Would you like to know the Vaishnava meditation?
Yes.
It's much, much more gentle. You go like this. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. This is my true identity. I am an eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my misfortune, I have turned away from him since time immemorial. Therefore, I have identified myself with my body, and as a result, I wandered continuously in the cycle of birth and death in the material world, suffering the burning threefold misery. Manohar, Gaurahari, Manu, the three devotees whom I just seen, you are only in this life looking like a Croatian and a Frenchman and a Belgian. It's not your true identity. You're an eternal soul who had before this body other bodies. And the reason why you had it is because out of misfortune you have turned away from Krishna and suffering the threefold miseries like going to the dentist and such things, such tortures. Be a little bit practical. Now, this has changed. as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, it's called Bhakti Sukriti in Sanskrit, I have met my spiritual master, and out of his mercy, he has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant, completely apart. Apart means separate or different. Completely apart from my gross and subtle body. In the end, meditation is, I am so fortunate now that I serve my spiritual master's lotus feet and in his footsteps, means I follow his example, I serve now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then you put the name of the deities whom you serve, like Manu and Manoha will say, I'm now serving Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, and Gaura Hari would say, I'm now serving Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. No, this is the identification, the right identification, which is separated in this Buddha Shuddhi meditation, which separates us at once from the illusory concept of material identities. I see so many devotees who have so much greenness behind their ears, that's a German expression, who are so, have such beginners in this earth life that it's embarrassing to even analyze them, and better not do it, otherwise you might do Vaishnava around people and things. There are so many beginners in our movement that it's overwhelming, the amount, and they keep on identifying with the body and the mind, or I will speak in modern English language, with their moods, with how the body is, is it painful, is it good, and there's a little illness, they just cannot come any longer to spiritual programs. It's just I'm now sick, Prabhu. Oh, you're not sick, it's only the body. I'm now in a bad mood, I have sadness. No, it's not true. You are an eternal part of Krishna. This is where you need to practice your spiritual life. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once gave a lecture to his disciples. It was a quite intense lecture. And he wanted to show them how important it is to destroy the wrong conception of life. So he said something. He said, he gave an example of someone who rows a boat but forgets to lift the anchor. Where I live, in the Gauravan, we have a boat. This boat is a boat, it's a birthday present. It is an extremely fast boat. It's a rowing boat. But it is chained in three places so that it is not swept away. And also there is a rumor in Germany that the Poles come over the border and steal the rowing boats of the Germans. I don't believe this rumor, but our person who took care believed in it, and has therefore chained the boat three times with a German chain. So imagine I would go into this rowing boat and try to row across the lake. If you row across the lake, there is a beautiful ashram where Siam Nam and Bhagavad Dhamma live. They have five very beautiful deities. Sisi Nitai Gosunda, then they have Sarbuja, they worship Giriraj, and also Radha Krishna. It's a beautiful, beautiful temple they have. And sometimes we like to row, over the lake and visit this other temple. There are so many There are so many devotees living there. It's like a devotee paradise. So when you row on the lake, everyone greets you, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh yes, and you see some children swimming in the lake, you know, from the devotees. And, oh, Maharaj, I'm all. And so, but you cannot row over the lake if you don't open the chains. You will not move even 50 centimeters over this beautiful lake of Nairobi. Shishirada Gopinatha Ki. So in the same way, you will never ever experience Krishna consciousness if you don't cut this wrong identification with the body and the mind. It will not work for you. You will remain a mental person the rest of your life and just never understand what it means when the Krishna conscious life, spiritual life. Sanatana Goswami says this very clear. He says, unless a person performs the Buddha Shuddhi practice, none of his pious spiritual activities, none of his spiritual activities will give him any result. Then he says, no, his japa will not work for him, fire sacrifices will not work for him, even if all of this is done according to the prescribed rules and regulations. Because the chains to material life have not been separated. The chains of illusion are still there. What do you think about this? Does it make sense? Can you understand what I'm trying to explain this morning?
Yes.
In our Kirtan course, I believe it was the day before yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, we learned three meditations from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which help us to come on the spiritual platform. Who remembers one of these meditations? I think you all remember them. Yes, Monishwara, yes. Yeah, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. I belong to Him. I'm like a spark in the fire. The second is...
Yeah. Krishna is my most merciful Lord and Master.
Krishna is my most merciful Lord and Master. And what was the third meditation? Rishabha.
We are in this world to be reformed.
We are only in this world for one's purpose, to be reformed. That's why we chant. So this expresses a little bit what Buddha Shuddhi means. Purify yourself from these illusions. Remember this most beautiful, heart-touching theater play yesterday. It was let us not exaggerate, it was a small sketch done with a little preparation, but the idea was very beautiful, and the way it was presented was most beautiful. One devotee told me he had tears in his eyes when he saw it. Remember, it was about these three people who met after 10 years and were two of them had become very much involved in iron mine. You know, they were very attached to the material life. They had cars and all kinds of things. And one of them had also tried to go this way, but luckily there was the Spanish economic money crisis, and he woke up from the dream. That was Rishabha, the personality was played by Rishabha, and he could understand, wow, this iron mind is wrong. The deeper you go into these illusions, the more dangerous your spiritual life becomes. And he then turned back to what he had learned earlier, and did, I think, chanting in the morning, and reading in the evening or book distribution, or he was really fired up. So this is necessary. You will always be on the amateur level, an embarrassing neophyte, embarrassing to you and to the community of Vaishnavas, if you just can't get this point straight, that I'm not this body. I only identify as a servant of a servant of a servant of Lord Krishna. Krishna is the ocean nectar. He is full of transcendental bliss. He always exists with brilliance. I am a part of this Lord. I am not a pile of ashes. Even if my ashes look very beautiful because I have a very interesting haircut and very nice creams on my ashes and so on. This very important. Very important, my dear devotees. I had a personal experience of this. It was in the year somewhere in the 80s, 87, maybe 88, like this. And I had come to Vrindavan, and all I could think is of, I was not digesting the Indian food very well, and I was thinking of German bread and butter. If I could just have some good German bread and butter, my disturbed digestion would come in order again. I was asking all the new arrivals from the Western devotees, do you have maybe in your flight prasadam, you know, what you took on your flight, some German bread and butter? German bread, and I'm not from Libya, not from Germany. They experienced profound misery. So then I found a replacement, chapatis. It was not so good, but I found this replacement. It's Indian bread, you could say. It's not spiced so heavily, so my intestines became peaceful. After part of this super doses of chili and so on. But then it became Ekadasi. Ekadasi, we were instructed. My god brothers were there, Ramakrishna Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, all exalted Vaishnavas, they said, we will fast on Ekadasi totally. I was in their group. It's from German bread and butter, isn't it? Also chapatis, of course. No vegetables, nothing. And we will not drink anything. We want to understand that we are not the body. Are you interested in this, Sachinanda Swami? So because they were my older god brothers and very knowledgeable in Krishna consciousness, and they were very blissful, but I was not. I thought, I will follow them for one day, you know. Anyways, I can't have German bread and butter and no chapati, so I might as well, out of frustration, you know, stop all this eating business altogether. And water, no water. Oh, well, who needs water anyways? And this Indian water is full of diarrhea, bacteria. I renounced it, you know. I gave up everything in bitter frustration of this world. So then and then they said, and we will chant 64 rounds. What? Yeah, Lord Chaitanya's quota. You may have to do it. Me, I'm and I am from Germany, I'm a simple man, you know, so don't become so, don't exaggerate, you know, be normal. Prabhupada said 16 hours. He said we should increase it, and today is the day. Would you like to try it? And I just couldn't say no, because they always invited me to take prasadam with them, and I was thinking, if I say no, they will also say no for me, and not invite me for prasadam. So I just was highly afraid of all my future meals, you know. Then they said, let's promise this before the deities. So this was my first Nirjal Ekadasi. It went all right after noontime. But then, hunger came, and thirst came, the double the strength of hunger. So I said, anyways, who's strong, am I hunger or thirst, or I am strong? I'm from Germany, I am stronger. So I went to the Madanbohan temple. I still remember it, because I thought if I move a little bit around, do a japa walk, I hope that's still alright, you know, do some japa walk. And then I sat down in the Madanbohan temple and chanted in the shade. As I chanted, my dear devotees, hunger and thirst kept on increasing. The more I increased my rounds, hunger and thirst increased. I still remember it. Until after 1 hour, I was so miserable. I was ready to rob a bank, fly back to Germany, and just eat from morning till evening German bread and butter. I was ready to do everything. But then something happened. I prayed to Radha Madanmohan, who are my deities, also my deities. I'm also the life. I served at the Radha Madanmohan temple in Goloka Dham, and I prayed and said, my dear Lord, I'm so tired of myself. I'm so tired of not tasting Krishna consciousness. I'm so embarrassed and so ashamed that I have to tell you. I have only tasted German bread and butter. All these years, nothing, not much has happened. Can you please help me to control my mind? And can you please help me to understand, to feel a little bit what it means that I am not the body and the mind, and that I am part of you? And I don't know what happened, my dear devotees. I prayed, I became very, very emotional because of this deep suffering of my body and my mind, and this existential misery of having failed Srila Prabhupada, who had told us so often, the first thing is, you need to understand you are not the body. And I became just so absolutely, I guess, eager, or, what is the right English word? Motivated, I would say, to just pray to the Lord for some mercy. And something happened. I can only describe it that I was chanting and I didn't notice I'm hungry and thirsty any longer. That this feeling was gone. And as I chanted more and more, it became clear to me that by my nature, I'm actually an eternal servant of Krishna. And only by illusion I identify myself with the body. It became somehow clear to me. Not in a theoretical way, but I really felt like this. And I started to chant and turn to the Lord. And as I did this, I thought, please accept me, even though I must be a disappointment for you also. Please accept me. And it was my most wonderful rounds. In the evening we came together, all our devotees came together in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's house, and we were asked to share our experiences of the 64 rounds day. And I felt what I had experienced was so sacred to me. and I needed to think about it, that I was shy to explain it. And I said, yeah, it somehow worked. I didn't think of eating, and I was very happily chanting my rounds in the Madame Mohan temple. Wonderful. This was my Vrindavan experience, but if you ask me how it came about, it was only because of some initial theoretical understanding, I'm not the body, and then praying to Krishna to allow me to please realize this, not in a theoretical way, but in a practical way. My dear devotees, the moment you understand this, you don't have any problem any longer. Even if things happen, like you become ill, it's not a problem. You understand it's the body, you have to now take more care of the body, or you are in a bad mood, your friend disappointed you and said something which was not appropriate. No problem. It's the mind which is disturbed and agitated, and so on. You are essentially a spiritual person, full of bliss and full of knowledge. My dear devotees, if you are fixed in this understanding, even at the moment of death, you will not be shaken. I do remember Srila Prabhupada in this connection. Maybe some of you have heard that his last days with us, he was quite emaciated. He did not eat since a few months. He looked very thin. Maybe some of you have seen photos. It is quite, one becomes very moved when one sees Prabhupada like this. He became so ill that he could not move any longer. And one day he asked his devotees, there was a pleasant evening sun, can you please carry me from my bed up into the balcony that I can get a little sun and become energetic? And we carried him and we were crying. All of a sudden, as Prabhupada was carried up, he was laughing. His whole body was shaking with laughter. Oh, he really laughed. He couldn't stop it. He asked him, Prabhupada, what's so funny? And Prabhupada said, I'll tell you later when I'm up in the balcony. And then Prabhupada told us a joke about the situation, which is a little difficult to understand if you don't come from the culture, but it's a very intellectual joke. The idea was, here I am, a very insignificant person, but to be brought up, four energetic young men become my servants. And he gave the example, he said, but I won't repeat it because it's so difficult for you to understand. Of course, now you want to know what it is. I will just say it. And you know, there was this man. He was so poor, he had to eat grasshoppers. That means he was really poor. But when he goes to Pashtun, he rides on an excellent horse. So Prabhupada, for an intellectual, he was just laughing about this joke. I realized that for you, you just know that for Prabhupada it was the best of all jokes. So respectfully honor his sense of humor, even though you cannot feel the same laughter as he did this. And you know, here he was, a few moments before his death. Normally a person is a little bit afraid or composed. He doesn't joke around, you know. But problem, no problem, there's a problem. I'm not the body. This was the last instruction which he gave a few Sankirtan devotees. I was there. And he said in his chair, and he said, so, he would say this long, so, And then different devotees said different things. And at the end he said, first of all, he was not satisfied by the answer. First of all, you need to understand that you are not the body, but an eternal soul. From there, we can continue to talk on this understanding. This is Buddha Shuddhi. This is how you break the attachment to I and mine. This is how you become successful in your chanting also, and in your spiritual life. We will hear more about this in our morning session, because it's a very important thing, and we will actually make a practice, a Vaishnava practice, whereby all our illusions slip away, and we just chant from the position of the eternal soul. I want to end here. Lord Jagannath is still on the altar, but I believe he is getting ready. Pujariji is indicating he's getting ready to. He is ready.
He's ready.
He's ready. Okay. So we should now all together make a small procession to the car. Car is also there. I believe Prabhupada will first go, and then Lord Jagannath, and we will just make a very brief get up. Yeah.